May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, we've been talking about roadside attractions for several weeks, and I, this week, wanted to take you back to why I first fell in love with roadside attractions. So, my dad is from this little tiny town in nowhere, Kansas, called Sylvan Grove. So, Sylvan Grove is the bottom right there. So you have to go like 12 hours north. You get on I-40, and then you go on I-40 a little bit, and then you have to go off. Sylvan Grove has like 200 people in it. It's a really tiny town. As the legend goes, Wilson, which is nearby, got the lake many years ago, and so Wilson is a little bit bigger town. It's maybe a couple hundred, maybe 1,000, I don't remember. Sylvan Grove is tiny. And when we would go visit family in Kansas, because all my extended family is in Kansas, there's literally nothing to do in Sylvan Grove except see the places where my dad used to get in trouble. There's nothing in that town anymore. But about 12 miles away, you go north and west a little bit, you get to a town called Lucas, Kansas. And I remember as a kid this place, the Garden of Eden. This guy, L.P. Dinsmore, he was a Civil War veteran. He was a school teacher. He was a farmer. And he was certifiably crazy. I don't know what was going on, but there was something. And so this guy in the back is his limestone cottage. This is where they farmed and ranched out of. And then he just started to create art around it. He created these stone sculptures, and this is just the front gate. It goes on throughout. This is wild. You can imagine little elementary school age Alan was at once terrified and mesmerized by this Garden of Eden. You go there and you try to pick up meaning in all of these things, right? But then you realize poor old LP was probably suffering from something, and there's not really any meaning to that. But Lucas has become Lucas is 300 people, so for those folks from Sylvan Grove, Lucas is the big city. It's become somewhat of an arts mecca of sorts, right? Weird places do that, like Marfa, out in the middle of nowhere, right? Artists just go to these places. Some of it is because what LP started way back when, other folks are like, there must be something here. And so there's another artist who I just learned about this week. Her name is Erica Nelson, and she opened up a museum in Lucas, and this is great. This is what it looks like on the outside. The next slide shows the sign a little bit bigger. It's the world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things. I think they're incorporated as just World's Largest Things, Inc., because that would be a lot to fill out in tax forms. But Erica, who I've learned, I've had a Facebook message conversation with her, because I was just looking, to be honest, right? We have a mustard seed, we have yeast in today's gospel, really small things, and so I Googled roadside attractions of very small things. And so Google led me to this person 10 miles away from where my dad grew up, in the same town where I fell in love with roadside attractions, and she happens to have the world's largest collection of the world's tiniest versions of the world's largest things. The Holy Spirit, man. So we had this conversation, and she travels around, right? She goes and she sees the world's largest peanut, right, or the world's largest ball of yarn, or the world's largest whatever. And she buys a little souvenir, and she takes it back to Lucas, Kansas, so other folks can see it. And in the conversation with her, I asked her, what is the attraction to these things? I'm weird, and so I just like these crazy things. For her, she thinks about it a little bit differently. She says all of these things give these communities a sense of place, a sense of purpose, and a sense of meaning. Right? You may be a small town that's got nothing really to offer the world, but y'all can have the world's largest peanut. And we laugh, and it's funny, and they know, these communities know, the kitsch factor in that, but it's a sense of identity. It's a sense of meaning. It's a sense of purpose. It's something they get to share with the world. It doesn't matter how small the thing is. It doesn't actually matter how big or how small the attraction is. What they have is what they get to share with the world. But not only does she want to let people come to Lucas to find this, she also takes it on the road. And so she has this thing, which she hauls out, and she goes all around. A nationwide tour in this thing. I don't know. If I saw that thing rolling down the highway, I'm probably calling the cops. That's a little bit odd. Because these stories of meaning, these stories of hope, these stories of purpose, these stories of small communities, they have something to tell all of us. They're not the full picture of these places. They're not everything we need to know about these places, but they give us a glimpse into what this community thinks is important. And so we can learn from that. And so Erica takes this on the road. So I was actually thinking about this a lot this week, because we've had a lot of parables, and we've talked about the parables these last couple of weeks, and the parables seems like Jesus is just throwing things against the wall to see what sticks. The kingdom of God is like a sower. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like that. The kingdom of heaven is like that. Today we have five of them, right? The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. The kingdom of heaven is like a fisherman. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure seeker. The kingdom of heaven is like a household manager. The kingdom of heaven is like anything Jesus can use to get the point across. And so these folks hear it, right? And Jesus is gone. He's been talking to the community. He's been talking to the crowd. And this got me looking back over the course of our summer together, right? We've been working our way systematically through Mark. We started a month and a half, 2 months ago in Mark 9 and 10. This is back then. Jesus is talking to just the disciples. He's preparing them to go out. And so when we hear in these parables Jesus talking to the crowd, talking about the kingdom of heaven, we can't disconnect this from what has happened before. So when we show up on Sundays and we hear a gospel preached, when we hear the lessons read, it's easy for us to take that out of context. It's easy for us to hear that and think, oh, what does that mean? We actually can't hear today without going back to June 18th, VBS Sunday, because today's gospel reading means nothing unless we go back there. And so that's why things like our lectionary Bible study that we have during the school year, because they work systematically and they talk about Scripture, it's important. If you want to do that, go to the lectionary group, go to a Bible study, because you can see the scope of Scripture. Because when we go back to June 18th, that Sunday, that gospel, Jesus tells the disciples to go out, go into the communities, go into the world, go to their neighbors, to their brothers and sisters and siblings, and to do what? Proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. And so when we hear that kingdom of heaven language right now, in today's gospel, it's what Jesus has told the disciples to share. And so Jesus has told us as his disciples to share it as well. So we can't just come in here and sit and listen and hear about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has told us to go out and proclaim the kingdom of heaven. He goes on further in today's gospel and says, do you understand this? And somehow they all say, yes. I don't know how they understood it. But then he said, good. Now you go out, and like the steward of a household, use what is old, use what is new, use what is tiny, use what is big, use whatever you have to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near. And so that begs the question, what exactly are we proclaiming? The kingdom of heaven defies description. The kingdom of heaven can only be grasped in vignettes of parables, but we know it when we see it, we know it when we feel it, we know it when we share it. I think the kingdom of heaven looks a lot like what Paul talks about in Romans. Paul, again, this is other scripture that we've been reading through for the last several weeks, and so what we get to today in chapter 8 doesn't make sense unless you've been reading chapter 5 and 6 and 7 and 8, because Paul didn't write chapters, right? He didn't write verses Paul wrote a letter that has arguments. And so chapter 5 through 8 of Romans, it's like one piece. It's one of Paul's arguments. And it's where he's talking about the assurance of the hope that we have. If you were here last week, Gavin talked about that hope. If you haven't heard it, go listen to his sermon from last week. He preaches about that hope that we have. And so what do we proclaim as the kingdom of heaven coming near? If you think about the people that Jesus was preaching to, the people that Paul was writing to, they lived in a world pretty different from our own. The people Jesus was preaching to were held in bondage, were held in captivity. They were subject to ruling authorities. The people Paul was writing to were running for their lives. Some of them, Paul himself, was in jail a time or two. It's different than us. And so the kingdom of heaven that they needed proclaimed to them was about their temporal things, but it was also about knowing that God is near. And so Paul asks in this argument today a series of four questions. He asks first, who is against us? Who will bring a charge against us? Who will condemn us? Who shall separate us from God's love? The answer to those questions is what we get to proclaim. Because when we hear the world asking, who is against us? When we hear ourselves asking, who will condemn us? When we struggle, when we doubt, or when we think we have it all figured out, we need to remember the kingdom of heaven is near. And for my money, this is the most powerful scripture there is. Thank you for reading it today. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors who loved us. These are folks who aren't going to escape actual famine and persecution and peril and the sword, right? They'll meet their end, many of them, by sword or by famine or all of that. And so they're realistic about this. But Paul, who knows a thing or two and has seen a thing or two, says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And because of that, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And if I ask if you all understand this, you're all supposed to, according to Scripture, say yes. But knowing it and understanding it is only the first part. We have to proclaim it. Jesus sends us out to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near, to proclaim that nothing can separate anyone from the love of God. I've been debating since Wednesday. I'm going to cry. If you'll go to the next slide. Wednesday, I participated in a mass shooting exercise at Richland High School. This was 8 months planning in the works. It was 300 participants from fire departments, police departments, emergency management departments, the FBI, from all around Northeast Tarrant County. And I got there. My job was to check in the firefighters and give them safety goggles, which was fun. And then they gathered up. And on the other side of the school were the police officers, and the other side was the medical staff. And here is some folks who had been laughing and joking all morning. But it's time to get ready, and it's serious. And so then I go inside, and I'm walking around with observers. It's people from other communities who came to watch. And so I'm sitting in the gym in a bleacher looking at a screen with a bunch of security cameras. Then you hear gunshots. And then a siren goes off and it doesn't stop for 30 minutes. It's a beeping noise. It says we're in lockdown. Lights, locks, out of sight. And in 3 weeks, my kid is going to go to that high school. In 3 weeks, our kids are going to go to those schools. In 3 weeks, our kids are going to ask questions, not about this. This just has me thinking about it. Our kids face things we will never comprehend. Our kids face questions of identity. Our kids face questions of safety. Our kids face questions that we have never had to wrestle with. And so when kids ask who is against us, it's a real question. When kids ask who will condemn us, it's a real question. When kids ask, it's a real question. And so we have to mean it. We can't just say the kingdom of heaven is near. We have to mean it. And so if you were here last week in our forum where we talked about Christian formation, we talked about the Bible studies, we talked about all, and that's great, that's wonderful. That was the first half of the conversation. But then a young mom asked, I need to know, as I'm raising kids, like, how do I do this? I don't know. And that's not a question, how do I raise my kids to be Christian? Right? That's part of it. How do we raise kids? And there were some older folks that said, what can we do? We don't have kids nearby. We had 30 minutes of conversation about what we can do to support each other, what we can do so that folks with no hair or gray hair can walk alongside and support families with young kids. We had 30 minutes of conversation about how we together let kids know the kingdom of heaven is near. And so that looks any number of ways. In this place, every week, we pray the name for schools around us. So at the ends of the pews, we have these printouts. And so I want you to take this, look through it, and if you're connected to a school, I don't care where the school is, preschool, all the way up to grad school, whatever. If you're connected to a school, make sure it's on this list. If it's not, write it down. Leave it in the pew. We'll collect those. We pray for these every week. Right? Every week, we have our school cycle of prayer, and we work our way through. I notice we're getting to the W, so we're about to start over at the beginning of the school year. One thing I'm going to do, and I invite you, is this year, every week, I'm going to write notes to these principals. Just thank you. Right? Because when I was at Richland High School, when I ended up in the gym for the debrief, I was standing next to the school resource officer at my boys' middle school. And in that moment, it became real. That's the guy who gives a damn. That's the guy who helps answer the question. That's the guy who lets my kids know someone cares. And so I could tell them thank you. And so maybe we can tell them thank you. And so we talked last week in the formation thing. There are things programmatically here we can do. There are things. But right, like when Jesus says, proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near, he's not telling you to wait for the church to tell you how to do it. He's not telling you to wait for someone to start a ministry so you can go do it. He just says, do it. And so whether that's writing a note to your kid's teacher, your grandkid's teacher, whether that's volunteering in a local school, whether that's letting the family with kids in church know it's okay if your kids are a little cranky, because maybe my husband gets cranky too. We don't have to have official things to step in. All we have to do is let each other know the kingdom of heaven is near. And so I want to know, what schools should we add to this? Write them down. We'll get them added to the list. In a couple weeks, we're going to have the kids in here. We're doing a children's sermon, so everyone's going to be together. Blessing of the backpacks. So I wanted to say some things today that I don't want to say when I didn't want to say when all the kids were in here. The conversations I've had over these 2 years with folks here, this is a place that wants every child to know they matter. This is a place that wants every child to know that God loves them. This is a place that wants every child to know they have value. Whatever that looks like, whatever we can do, I'm open to ideas. We have to find ways to do it. The kingdom of heaven has come near, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Amen.